Welcome to the Data Up Podcast. My name is Brian Ward, the creator and host of the Data Up Podcast. I am a coach, Marine Corps veteran, speaker, husband, and you guessed it, a dad. Are you ready to be inspired to be the best dad you can be for your family? This show will provide you with the tips, tools, and strategies to do just that. Are you a dad just going through the motions? Or are you looking to really elevate your dad game to the next level? Truth is, it is a blessing to be a dad. This is a responsibility we must take seriously. In the end, how do you want to be remembered? I hope you want to be remembered as a phenomenal dad. Your legacy starts in the home, not outside the home. If you're really ready to elevate your dad game, then make sure you bang that subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode. Now, let's get started. Dad up.
Welcome to another episode of Dad Up, everyone. Thank you guys very much for joining me. I'm excited to have this individual on. I reached out to him recently, and I'll go into how we kind of got connected. But my good friend, Tom Pache, has joined me on Dad Up. Welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, Brian, thank you so much. I am pumped to be here, and I really appreciate the invite.
Yeah, absolutely. So he and I got connected in kind of a interesting way, I should say, because he was at he's a magician and mentalist, and he does all these things, but he's really, really good. He's phenomenal. Trust me, he's phenomenal. But I was at a company event last year where he was the entertainment, and I'm a huge fan of magic and, mental, I don't even know what you call it, Tom, like just mentalist type of stuff. Right. I've been a huge fan of that since I was a little kid. But he was the entertainment, and he did a skit where he pulled up an EVP of the company and another guy and had them put on a mask. And then the masks had like the mouth movement, and then Tom had control. And then Tom was doing some ventriloquist stuff and making them do funny, goofy stuff. And it was, I'm telling you, it was funny. It's not really magic, but it was hysterical. I was literally on the floor. I think the whole audience was on the floor laughing. But because we had such a good time, the company had him back again this year. And he did something at the end, specifically at the end, that really caught my attention. All the stuff you do, Tom, I just have no clue how you do it. I was really trying to pay attention. But you did a trick at the very end where you were asking random people in the audience. He was just asking random people in the audience to name something. And then by the end, when he was done, he said, okay, now I want you all to go to my Instagram page and look at my most recent post. I posted it earlier today, and take a look and tell me what you think. And it was the picture that everybody else had said they wanted to see. Like, anyways, it was mind-blowing. So when I saw that, I'm like, okay, I didn't know you had an Instagram page. Now I do. I got to do some research. I did some research, saw that he's dad. I go, I have to have this guy on my show. So here we are. So I reached out.
Well, thank you.
Here we are, man. I'm so excited for you to be on. And thank you for being here.
Gosh. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Brian. It's going to be a blast. And, you know, speaking of magic, I figured, look, if we're going to do this, I have three young daughters, and they're kind of my best test if something's going to work or not. You mentioned something a minute ago. Could I do something for you and your audience just real quick to kick it off, and then we'll dive in? Is that okay?
Let's do it.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, every night, one little tradition we have, just kind of how do you keep things going? How do you keep the family together? Is we insist on dinner together as a family as often as possible. And after dinner, we have a little fun. We have Alexa in the kitchen, and we usually have the kids pick a song, right? So we have a bunch of cards they can choose from, and there's all these different songs from the different time periods, eras that we want them to kind of know about, right? Don't Stop Believing, Eye of the Tiger, what is this? Eternal Flame. The list goes on and on. Thriller, Michael Jackson. So I thought this would be kind of cool. Brian, would you just, let's pick one randomly. Tell me where to stop anywhere you want, any song.
There.
Right there, or do you want me to keep going?
No, there.
Okay, I'm going to close my eyes. If you could just look at this, and your audience who's watching will look at this. You don't need to say anything just yet. Just keep it in your mind. Is it right side up, or is it upside down?
No, you're good.
Okay, good. Are you familiar with the song?
Probably, if I heard it. I don't
know. Okay, good. That's fine. As long as, you know. That's perfect. Here's the deal. You see, I've got a lot of packages coming to the house, Amazon packages and stuff. This is one. It's a bit of a mystery. I'm just going to leave this right here. and open that in a second. But I want you just to help us out with a number between 1 and 100. If you could just literally name any number between 1 and 100, what would you name?
56.
Are you serious? 56?
Yeah.
Do you look, if you want to change your mind, Brian, you can. You want to change it or you want to keep it at 56?
No, that was just the first number that popped in my mind. Literally like
that. All right, look, we didn't talk about it. We didn't set a 56. No, positive.
That was the number that just like right when you said that, that number popped in. I don't know why. I have no like significance to that number. Just that's the number.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Hey, cool. Well, I'll tell you what, this is my phone, right? Mm-hmm. That's my daughter, Eleanor. It's been off. I'm going to open this up and, there's some, we have a list that we did with my kids. It's in notes. This is a whole bunch of, different things that we could do during COVID. We made this bucket list items.
Right.
There it is. There's literally 100. Read one or two of those out, Brian. What do you see?
Surf a wave, go to Brazil.
Yeah, there's a bunch. Perform, you know, a lot we've
David
already
Blaine.
Done.
There you go.
Some we're still working on. Some are kind of ridiculous. We've all chimed in. I encourage you and your family to make that list. These are things that, you know, we want to make sure we're being intentional about our time and what we're doing. So you picked 56 or what'd you pick?
56.
57?
Yeah. 56.
What is 56?
Learn how to ride a bike with no hands. That has to be one of your daughters.
Yeah, they, you know what, they wanted to do that. I honestly still haven't learned that, so I thought it'd be cool. I could impress them. Let's go to one more, because a lot of times we kind of have to fend the media off from our kids having too much screen time and stuff. But these are 100 different celebrities over the past century that have most influenced pop culture. Okay, mm-hmm. Living and deceased. We've got The Rock, Lady Gaga, Ellen DeGeneres, Oprah Winfrey. If you see all 100, let's go to your, what was it, 57? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, 56.
Kenny G.
Kenny G. Very nice. Okay. And if you picked 65, like you reversed those numbers, it would have been Lance Bass. Okay. Mm-hmm. You picked 56 and it was Kenny G. Now for our maybe younger audience, do you remember who Kenny G is? Is he still around?
He is actually. I think he's performing at a local casino in the next few months or something. I think he is.
That's amazing. And yeah, what is he? Yeah. Is he the guy in the like a clarinet?
He plays a saxophone.
A saxophone. Okay, so just to recap, you picked 56, which could have been anything, and it was riding a bike with no hands, right. And it was the celebrity Kenny G. And you also picked a song. Don't tell me that just yet, but in this envelope, which has been here the entire time, Brian, I prepared one thing. It's another envelope. But here's the crazy part. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a code, Brian. If you or any of your viewers are watching right now, actually take out your phone. Do you have it with you? I know on these things, you know, generally we say, put your phones away. We don't want it ringing during the cast. We don't want it going off when we're recording. But in this case, I give you special permission to have your phone out. Open up your camera. Open up your camera and hold it up, because I made a prediction before we started today. Okay. It actually takes you to that Instagram page you talked about. But if you go to my stories right now, you're going to see something. Click on those stories. And just in case, I've also prepared
something. Shut the hell up. That is.
Brian, hold up your phone to the screen. What is it?
Oh my God. I don't want to lose the story. So it is Kenny G riding a bike with no hands.
Oh yeah, I printed a picture just in case your audience didn't quite get it. That is crazy. Oh, and Brian, is this the song you were thinking about?
Yes.
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 You don't look convinced. Wait, what was the name of the song?
For World. It was.
No, that was not. That was it. This is something I think I meant this one. No, that's Girls Just Want to Have Fun. No. You said What a Wonderful World. That's Louis Armstrong. Ba-na-na-na-na-na.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Na-na.
Yeah.
Was it, What a Wonderful World. Okay, it's in here somewhere. You know what? Okay, we're live. It's a live show. It could have been anything. I'm sorry that I got 2 out of 3, which isn't bad, right?
That's awesome, man.
Oh, really? Wait, Brian, I'm sorry. There's somebody. What is it? Is somebody else coming on the Zoom?
Hey, it's Kenny G here. I was out for a bike ride and I was thinking, isn't Tom Pache's magic insane? I believe we are all connected. And so for you and all your friends here, Tom, I'd like to leave you with this.
Okay. What was that? Seriously, Kenny G? Brian, it is a wonderful world, and I am so thrilled to be here and honored to be on with you today. Let's get into it. I'm sorry, I just had to. I had to take a minute. And
that was good, man. That was good. That was awesome. See what I mean, guys? That was awesome, dude. Really, really cool. Yeah. I don't.
You
even
rocked it.
I don't even know. I don't know. I'm just. Yeah. Well, Tom, let's do this real quick. I want to know a little bit more about you, dive into your back history a little bit, kind of how you grew up, and then, you know, obviously how you got into magic and all that kind of stuff. And then obviously this is a dad podcast, so we want to know about your family as well.
Hey, yeah, thank you so much. Well, I'll tell you, I grew up in Ridgefield, Connecticut. It's a small town, Connecticut, about an hour and a half from New York City. I had about the best childhood any kid could ask for. My two parents had sacrificed so much for our family, my two sisters and I, and really wanted to give us every opportunity we could at life, you know, and taught us through their example, through their love. And it's the way that, you know, I am now blessed to raise my family with my wife much in the same way. But following my parents' example, I was really led into education first. And from a very young age, two things that I knew were always a part of my life were education and magic. And my cousin, who is in New Jersey, his name was Rich Albano. He was a magician. And at family parties, he would be doing tricks. I would see this stuff and it just captured my imagination. I loved it. It was one summer, about 11 years old, we were in Boston. And there was one, I know you're from Massachusetts, or your wife is from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Okay, if she's ever been to Boston, there was a magic shop there for years called Hank Lee's Magic Factory. And we went there and it was the first time I got to see up close, you know, tricks being demonstrated that you could purchase. No internet, no YouTube. But that same day we went to Faneuil Hall and saw street magic. And seeing it up close, seeing people right there on the street create a crowd, elicit the kind of reaction that this person did, it made me fall in love with the art, and especially that form of the art, street magic. And so from that day on, I had learned, you know, you see a trick and you buy it and they teach you how to do it. From that day forward, it was reading. I would stay up all night learning how to do these tricks, reading about more tricks, trying to order more tricks, save up my money. And I would put together a show, do parties, stuff for neighbors, whoever I could, family members. And that really let me see that, you know, the way we construct a routine is much like how you construct a lesson plan. There's going to be, you know, some kind of surprise element to grab your audience. There's going to be engagement. You want to have your audience participate. And it's sort of, I show them something, we do it together. And then ultimately, you want them to leave independently doing something or believing in something themselves. And that really, you know, became kind of the premise for, hey, if I could do that, I think I could put a lesson together. I like working with kids. I like teaching. And I have this awesome example from my parents, who my dad was a principal of an elementary school. My mom is a music teacher. And I would see what they would do. And it just was like, hey, anything is possible. You know, I didn't think about desks and rows and kind of a boring atmosphere. My dad's school rocked. He had the most creative atmosphere for everybody in that building. I mean, way, way beyond his years, be ahead of his times, I should say. And it just made me say this, you know, I could create a life this way, doing what I love. I saw the joy it brought my parents, and it really showed me what I try to show my students is that, you know, I'm not just teaching you content, I'm teaching you how to live your life. And that's what I try to teach my own kids now. It's, you know, do what you love, contribute to the world, you know, hold your values close to you, and that's going to be the foundation for everything that you build from there. And it's been an incredible life. So I've kind of combined the two. And now I get to speak to educators all around the country. I get to present and give keynotes, both in education and in the corporate world. And that's how we met. And of course, doing magic shows all over the world, cruise ships, theaters, and all kinds of company events. So it's been a blast.
That's cool. So you're not still teaching anymore. You're just now you've kind of moved into the role of what you're doing now full time, right?
Believe it or not, I am still teaching. I'm a sixth grade teacher right now. I've taught for 20 years in the public school system in New York. And it's this kind of, you know, fun duality that I get to do both. Yeah.
That's awesome. And I'm sure they bug you constantly for how can you make me get an A? Let me see how you can do that. Right.
Well, we just did it today. We did a lesson today on an essay, and I had juggling pins, and it was like, you know, you have an intro, you have a conclusion, and you have a body paragraph. And when they're all in unison and it's all balanced, you've got something beautiful. So we work in threes, and that was the juggling act today. And then they used it to write, and it was awesome.
That's cool. Good for you, man. That's awesome. So cool. Now, when it comes to your own family, you, how old are your daughters now?
So my youngest is 6 years old, Caroline. Our middle daughter is 9 years old. That's Eleanor. And my oldest daughter just turned 16. That's Catherine.
Oh, wow. And teaching her how to drive, or getting her driver's license pretty soon, if not already.
It's happening, man. It's crazy. I know you've been through it, but yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Two boys. I have two boys, 25 and 22. So yeah, I've been, like I say, I like to say I've been around the parenting block a few times, with those two boys. But that's cool. And you're enjoying it. And I'm sure that, you're trying your tricks out on your daughters. Do they get burned out on it? Do they go, Dad, again?
They hate it. No, I'm kidding. You know what? They love it, but that's the barometer there, because you know, if they're not into it, I know the audience isn't going to be into it. I mean, they're just an honest reaction. They've seen it all. They know the premise behind a lot of it, and they are really a great litmus test if something's going to fly, as well as my students. You know, I'll work on material, and you kind of know when you're onto something, and I think kids are the most honest audience you can have.
Yeah, that's cool. And when it comes to your daughters, how would it impact, or let me rephrase that. How would you feel if your daughters wanted to follow in your footsteps as far as maybe go down that road, or maybe they are showing an interest in that?
Yeah, I've thought about that a lot lately, matter of fact, because, you know, if you ever read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, yep. that basically sums up my life. It's like, on the one hand, I had my dad as an amazing example with this job that had security and a pension and all of these things. And yet my dad still knew, he was always so creative, that, you know, it didn't have to just be that. He was always starting another business. He had this entrepreneurial spirit, this Walt Disney-like attitude that anything was possible, and he just created this amazing life. So I knew that, you know, it wasn't going to just stop with that job. But now I think about my kids, and you know, I want them to be able to make a sensible choice in their career, but I also want them to make sure that they feel like they're making a difference and following what they feel is really their vocation and their calling. So my oldest daughter, Katie, she's an incredible actor, singer. She really loves the stage, and I take her with me, you know, especially in the summer. We travel. We went to Yellowstone last year. We were doing shows out there, and they come, you know, whenever we're doing a resort show. It's taking them with me to see not just the show, but she has an incredible business sense, as they all do. You know, she understands, okay, this is what actually makes this happen behind the scenes. And, you know, another passion from Rich Dad, Poor Dad is real estate. We have some short-term rentals that we run, and the kids are kind of all invested in a part of that. So they know, you know, it's fun to do what we love, but there also has to be some sensible backing behind it and something that's really growing and that we're all working on and working towards. So they all have a bit of an invested interest in that business as well. And we'll see where life takes them, but it's great. And it all stems really from the support of my wife to allow all of us to travel together when we can. In fact, just last week, 2 weeks ago, when I saw you, the next day I met them out in Disneyland. She flew with the kids, and we made the most of a couple of days we had together on the West Coast, and it was a blast. So it's really, really great.
Really cool.
Great job.
Yeah. I mean, when I think about, you know, growing up, and I never had an interest in doing any of the things. My dad was an engineer. He was an engineer at a hospital, and that just wasn't me. But I, you know, I went into the military. I was in the Marine Corps, and then got into banking right out of the Marine Corps. Got into banking, and I didn't think my boys would ever want to get into that type of work, that type of you know, industry, banking. But I did try to encourage them to go into the military. Because I said, listen, teach you work ethic, teach you discipline, get you, you know, help you to be mature, and it'll pay for your college. All the, my boys had no interest, and that's okay. You know, people ask me that, why didn't your boys go in the military? You were in, why didn't your boys go in? It just wasn't their thing. It just wasn't their thing. And that doesn't bother me. Like you're saying, if your daughters don't decide to do any type of stage act or stage routine or, you know, magic work, you know, that's, they do what they want to do, and we have to support them and guide exactly. them as best we can. So that's
exactly.
cool.
Yes.
That's cool. But that leads me to my next question, because you do travel a lot. And I know, you know, you just gave an example there of the family coming out and you guys spending a couple of days in Disneyland. But how difficult is that? And how do you find that balance where you're, you know, you're still working, you got a teaching job, and you're doing these shows. You know, weekends, evenings, all those kinds of things. So it takes you away from your kids, away from your family a lot. How do you find that balance? It's not a magic act.
No, it isn't. And I know this question has come up a lot on your podcast, on many podcasts. I just heard one very prominent podcast recently about the same topic. And you know, this, those memories that we can't relive. And we know that this time is so precious. And it also helps me when things are, you know, just crazy or we're having a bit of a struggle with whatever it might be. I always think that about that quote, you know, if I were 80 years old and this was the one moment I could look back on, you know, and everything's crazy in the house with the kids, you know, you wouldn't be angry at them. You just see it for the blessing that it is. And it's just so amazing. So I love all the messiness. And it makes me appreciate that even more because, you know, my time is allocated and it is prioritized. And I try to make them always the priority. However, it's important for them, as it was for my parents, to see the work ethic, to see that, you know, it's not just magically, it doesn't just magically happen. We didn't just go to Disneyland because it sounded fun. They realized that we were going to leverage that based on money we made here with the show, money that we saved, you know, a goal that we set, time that we had together. And now, you know what, right after that, they flew back home. I flew to Atlanta for another show. And that's okay because the time with them is 100% quality. And I think that's much more memorable than being with them all the time and realizing that it's, you know, half with them on the phone, doing this, taking calls. So I make sure that time with them is dedicated to them. My wife is, again, that incredible support that she can do what she does. But I think it's really important for all families to see the sacrifice that parents make and for kids to understand that this is what it takes to provide for a family. And when you do what you love and you're intentional about it, I think you don't come home burnt out. Right. I come home invigorated talking about what I do. And so they hear everything in my classroom, they hear everything in the show, they know what's going on, and they're doing the same thing in all aspects of their life. So I think it's, instead of trying to, you know, balance, I think it's what if we could turn on that fire hose in these, you know, all these main components of our life and be 100% at all of them. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. But when you find that passion and what you love, that's what I think makes it worth suffering for. Right, which is what passion means. I told my students this the other day. Passion isn't what sounds fun and feels good. Passion is what you're willing to suffer for. So if it means that much to you and there's such a value statement behind it, I believe 100% in what I'm doing, the bottom line of what I get to do, both on stage, in my keynotes, in my classroom, with my family, that I have no shame in doing any of it. So it's with a full heart and I can come home with a full heart and not feel like I'm giving them the short end of the stick.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, I talk to dads a lot. I coach a lot of dads, and you know, I hear the balance word a lot. And you know, I like to ask dads that, but the facts are this: there's no such thing as balance when you have the career that you're trying to build and a family. Finding that balance is impossible because you can't put all your focus in one thing and be able to put all your focus in another thing at the same time. It's just not going to happen. Something's going to give a little bit. So finding balance in your career and your family life is impossible. So don't even try. However, capitalize on the moments in both. So when you're in business and you're working, like you're at your office or you're on, like, you know, Tom's on stage. He's giving 100% to his onstage presence at that moment. He's not a dad. He's the entertainer. He's the one doing what he loves to do as an entertainer. But when he's home, like he said, going to Disneyland that next day with his kids, he was 100% checked in. That's exactly what you need to do as a father when it comes to trying to find that quote unquote balance, right? For me, it's the same way. I coached my boys in sports from the ages of 4 all the way up through high school. And I had a corporate job and people would ask me, I don't know how in the world you can go to practices and games when you have a job. Like, how do you get, like, I said, listen, I just make sacrifices in areas of my life that doesn't impact my job and doesn't impact my kids. I make sacrifices in other areas to make sure I'm at both 100% of the time. So when I'm at work, I'm at my job, I'm there 100% of the time. When it's time for me to leave, I leave and I'm with my kids. How I made that happen was if there were days where I had to, let's say we had to travel a distance to play in a game and I had to get to the school at 2:00. Well, my day didn't end at work until five, right? Well, all I would do is I would get to the office at 4 a.m. So I was sacrificing my sleep to get to the office early so I can give them 100% of my time. And then I could leave early, even though I wasn't, I could leave early and give my boys 100% of my time or my teams 100% of my time. So I was sacrificing areas of my life to do both. And you have to find it. It's there. You have 24 hours in a day. It's there. You just have to find it. So
yeah, it's amazing what people aren't willing to do sometimes. You know, they're willing to watch Netflix. They're willing to do things that, you know, suck time from them. But what you're contributing, you know, and then your kids are willing to make that sacrifice too. You know, I heard somebody say that we can't ask for, you know, a withdrawal when we haven't invested ourselves. We haven't made that those deposits ourselves. But when our kids know that our heart is genuine, when they know how much we're giving to them, you know, then they're willing to say, you know, I know dad's coming home maybe a little bit late today or won't be there for this. But when he is there, it's 1,000%. But you're right. Like, we're doing this. My time 9 o'clock at night when we get off of this, I'm going to be going on and correcting some things. I'm going to be sending out some contracts, probably waking up at 5 a.m. to do the rest so that everything else can get the attention it needs. Now, not all the time, but you do what you have to do in order to do what you want to do. When that priority is in the right place, you know, you make it happen. But I think that's the difference between, you know, some would say an amateur and a pro, and some would say really a selfless parent and a selfish parent. And there's plenty of ways that we can put the oxygen mask on and take care of ourselves. But I don't think, you know, I know I can live without TV, you know, for the week or other things that I want to do, but I don't need to do. And the attention goes where it matters most.
Yep, absolutely. I have always said that when I do get to a point where, you know, I'm 51 years old, I hope to pray to God that I still have many, many, many years. But when I do get to that point where I'm about to, you know, go meet my Heavenly Father, I want to be able to go, I have no regrets of how I live my life. I have no regrets of how I managed my life with my family, with my wife, with my kids, with my job, with, you know, whatever it was that I was doing. And I want to have that ability to do that. And so every single day I'm trying to live my life in that way. And I think that if you take that approach, like, I don't want to miss anything in any area. So I'm going to do whatever I have to do, get rid of all the other crap that's not beneficial to me, to make sure I'm there in all these other areas. And that's what you're talking about. Yeah, I would love
to. What you just said resonates so much, Brian, because, you know, it's the end of the game that we want to think about. And it's not the legacy we leave behind, you know, it's the legacy that we live. Mm-hmm. And living that every day is like when people say, how do you do it, right? I just saw that you were in Las Vegas doing a keynote and you're at your kid's practice today coaching. It's like, yeah, I got on a red eye and that flew. I knew I could make it in by, you know, 6 a.m. I drove up. But I want to say, you know, I could just say, let's sit back and do it safe. I don't need to take those risks and fly. What if that plane, you know, was delayed? What if I didn't make it back? Well, I want to be able to say both to my kids and at the end of my life that I gave it a go. I gave it my best shot and that I really fulfilled my fullest potential, because there is nothing scarier, as our mutual connection of Ed Milet says, you know, you don't want to get to the end of the road and say, did I leave something on the table, or did I pursue what I was meant to be? And that's always been my driving factor. It's not how much money I can make or how big I can scale this. It's how big I can scale this. You know, what was I put on this earth to do? And am I maximizing that potential? Because if you're not using the gifts, you know, it's really all just a futile attempt of, I don't know, shuffling through the day. So I'd rather make it count, and I might fail. I might mess up sometimes, and I might need some grace from the people around me, but I'd rather say, you know what, I gave it 1,000%, and this is who I was meant to be. And my kids will both, you know, see that and learn from it. As our friend says, it's what's caught, not taught. And sometimes we're doing both.
Yeah. No, absolutely right. I mean, I had another guest on my show one time that said he was really, really good. He said, you know, in school, you get the lesson then the test. But when you're a parent, it's the test then the lesson. You have to figure things out as you go. And that's so true as a parent. That's so true. Yeah, I may mess up. I may screw up along the way. I'm going to mess up. I know that. Hell, I still mess up today. I mean, I've been a dad for 25 years and I still mess up. But at the end of the day, I want my boys to know, hey, I'm okay. When I make a mistake, I'll let you know I made a mistake and I'm sorry that that happened. I will make sure to correct it going forward. But I don't want to be able to go to my Heavenly Father and go, crap, there was stuff I did not do. There was stuff I did wrong. There was stuff I didn't correct. There were people that I hurt that I didn't fix. I don't want to have that. And so, yeah, I'm a big believer in, you know, building a legacy and all that, but I'm also a firm believer in your legacy starts in your home, not outside your home. And too many people, you know, a lot of successful entrepreneurs have that mindset of I have to build outside my home, but they're missing everything at home. They're missing the relationship with their kids. They're missing the support of their wives or supporting their wives. They're missing all these opportunities. So that way, when their kids do get older, their kids are going to go, you weren't there for me. Like, why?
That's right.
I mean, yeah, you're able to be retired now and at 35 and have fun and take me to school or whatnot, but you weren't there for me. I mean, and I didn't want that to happen.
And sometimes, Brian, I'm sure you've seen that the goals and where you are in your life now, you know, couldn't have been forced. I mean, it could have happened, but it wasn't meant to happen when you were 35. You know, it was meant to happen at 50 or 51 because of a different priority. So I always say that, you know, every no to something is a yes to something else. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those prayers are answered through a no, and it's mm-hmm. and it's patience. You know, the people that I've met through magic and people like yourself in the corporate world, there's no way that I would have been really ready for that. And the network that I work with, the agency that I work with, the other magicians that I work with, the companies, I wish I could have had that at 30, but I wasn't prepared in the mindset and had the experience to do that then. And it's revealed and shown through being prepared, being ready, continuing on, even when it's difficult. And then you see, oh, that was the plan. You know, it wasn't the way I wanted it at 30 or 35 or 20 or 25. Maybe this is now ready for me here. And someone else on your podcast said, I think it was maybe your last guest, they said, you don't realize that as a father, these fleeting moments when your kids are small, they're so precious, but you actually spend most of your life, right, being a father of adult children. How's mm-hmm. that relationship going to form? What are they going to learn from your next steps? And although life is very short, you know, life is long. And so, again, when it's rooted in the right values, you're able to make those decisions without feeling like you're making a wrong step or missing out. I never feel like I'm missing out on opportunity. I'm sure I could have done other TV events earlier on in my life or this or that, but it all happens at the right time for the right reason when those priorities are in order. And, you know, when you become a father, that's the priority.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's, again, going back to what I was saying about, you know, not missing all those opportunities as your kids grow up, because if I didn't do the things that I did as a dad, my dad is a great dad, but he wasn't there. Like, I can count on one hand how many sporting events he came to, how many parent teacher conferences. Like, my parents had to work. They just couldn't make that sacrifice. But I knew as a young child, meaning high school years, I knew that when I did become a dad, I wasn't going to be that way. I wanted to make sure I was checked in because I wanted to have that relationship with my kids. My dad and I have a relationship, but it's not great. We don't have a super great relationship. We have a relationship, but not a great one. I didn't want that with my kids. And right now, right, because of how my wife and I were constantly in our kids' lives, being there for them, participating with them, doing the activities with them, going places with them, because of that, I'm a firm believer, because of that, it's because of that, that I have the relationship that I have now with them. They're two of my best friends. We go golfing together. We hang out. My son just texted me today. He's in Arizona. He texted me today. He's like, hey, can you help me with I'm trying to update my resume. I want you to look it over and see how it looks. I mean, those kind of things, like, he's coming to me for those things. He could have went to anybody for that, but he comes to me for it because that's the bond and relationship that we have. And it's
isn't that amazing? And that's a sign. That's a sign that you did it right, because your kids want to be with you. And our family is the same way. My both sisters live in the same town. My mother-in-law, obviously our family, my parents, and we all just, you know, we want to be together, but it's not where we're smothering each other. It's like, these are genuinely the relationships that we learned, you know, growing up, how to foster. And so why wouldn't you want to keep fostering them? And then your nucleus, it reaches out to the rest of the town, the rest of your community. As Mother Teresa said, you know, charity starts at home. Mm-hmm. Do give that example at home with your family, and then you're creating this bigger thing instead of trying to save everybody else and doing everything else and then neglecting that at home. So agree 100%.
Yeah. Can we talk about your younger daughter and what you had shared a minute ago before we started recording? Is that okay with you?
Absolutely.
Okay. So you had shared that, you know, your younger daughter was recently diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. My wife, being a type 1 diabetic for many, many, many years, over 40 years, she, you know, knows that struggle is hard for her, knew that struggle was hard for her parents. How are you and your wife handling that? Because she's six, and that's young, and that's hard for her to understand. You know, maybe there's a parent out there that has just recently had a child diagnosed, or maybe they've, you know, not really sure how to get through it, or they're struggling with it. Maybe there's a message in there you could share with them.
There is, for sure. We got her diagnosis when she was five. And so the way that it worked, to pull back for just a second, it's funny when you kind of have to surrender, right? And trust in God, because when just my, you know, corporate career, I had a whole bunch of different events lined up and I was hitting the road and doing all these things and everything was going great. And that was right at the beginning of COVID and it all stopped. And I said, why, you know, why now? And sure enough, eventually I created this studio with my dad and we started doing virtual shows for companies. And all of a sudden I was in three countries at once and it was unbelievable. It was amazing. And so I realized, okay, I see there's a bigger plan, right? Fast forward another 2 years and I'm flying to Wisconsin for a show. It's a big superintendent's conference. I'm speaking, I'm performing. It's the dream gig. I take my dad with me, which when my family can't come, I try to bring my dad with me. We land, I think it was Lake Geneva. We get there, I'm in the car, my phone rings. We're waiting for the rental car and the phone rings. And we knew that Caroline, we noticed some symptoms. She was, you know, waking up in the middle of the night a lot. She was complaining that she was tired. We just kind of saw a lot of things, thinking, okay, we're going to take her to the doctor. Becky calls me, my wife, and says, we're at the doctor. They're taking her to Yale New Haven, the hospital by us, for an overnight. They suspect that she has diabetes. And we said, where would this even come from? We never heard of anything like it in our family. Sure enough, that was the case. And at that moment, not only are you struggling with the diagnosis, but here I am now, I have to go on stage in about 3 hours, you know, be the life of the party. And it was the first time I really had to struggle with that concept of that was the last place I wanted to be. And yet I had to make everybody in that room feel like it was the only place I wanted to be. But before I get back to Caroline and those who might be struggling with something similar, you know, the performance aspect of this is something that I learned that day. And that was that people relate to those who they relate to. And this word vulnerability was the word of the day for me, because I was sitting at this table with everybody who hired me and we were going through a dinner before the show. And this is where you talk and schmooze. And it was like, again, the last thing I felt like doing, until somebody asked me about my family. And I just opened up there in kind of a raw moment and said, you know, it's actually funny you ask, because I just got a call from my wife that our youngest daughter was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. So I'm sorry if I'm a little distracted. And they said, oh my goodness. And the girl sitting right next to me said, I'm type 1 diabetic. Here's my pump. My dad still checks my numbers. He's at home. And so just in that moment, just her levity, just the connection there, it was like, wow. And she was now 29, 30 years old and had gone through her life. Her father, you know, expressing how he felt, his concern still to this day. And it kind of made me realize, okay, this is going to be okay. I understand. People now understand where I'm coming from. I've connected with the audience and we get through this together. So we've been dealing with it on a day-to-day basis. It certainly isn't easy, as you and your wife know. My wife is just such a support system. She's so fantastic with Caroline. And Caroline herself has come to know exactly what her body is doing, what she needs to help herself with, what she can and cannot do or cannot eat. And you know what? Because of it, she says she wants to be a doctor or a nurse. So there's always, you know, a silver lining, but it's something that we do really have to be aware of every moment. And I think it's just a great reminder that when you have your finger on the pulse of anything, what you pay attention to and track, you usually are able to nurture, and grow. That could be a job, it could be money, it could be a relationship. So what a great reminder that when I just ate a bag of chips and didn't think anything of it, you know, we're kind of keeping this little being sustained so that her blood sugar doesn't go too high, doesn't go too low, and always regulating it. But she's learned through that process, and we all have as a family. It's only brought us closer.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, you know, I am, you know, sorry that that has taken place, but it, you know, there's messages there. There's a reason behind it. And whether it's, you know, because she wants to be a doctor now and she wants to help other people, whether it's just to capture the bond between you guys, help you guys grow closer as a family, whatever the case may be. The fact is, she's going to live a healthy life. She's going to live a normal life. My wife has lived a healthy, normal life. She's a very successful school teacher herself, junior high level. She's been a teacher for almost 20 years herself. So yeah, she's going to be fine. And, you know, obviously she's got to take different approaches to life and food and all those kinds of things. But with the technology and advancements of medicine and all that kind of stuff, everything's going to be fine. So you guys will get through it, but I'm happy that you guys are on that road together, and you and your wife together understand that, hey, this is important and we need to make sure that we're doing what we can to take care of her and teach her.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, listen, Tom, before I let you go, if my listeners wanted to look you up, learn a little bit more about you, best places for them to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, social media, I'm on everything. It's at Tom Pesce. And my last name is like fish in Italian. You'll see me on the menu, P-E-S-C-E. It's at Tom Pesce Official on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, all of that. But you know what? And you can also visit my website at tompesce.com. Hey, Brian, can I just maybe show you and your audience one trick? Could we do something for a minute?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, that would be fantastic.
We got to close it out the right way, right?
You have to. And, you know, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for my father. And they say that, you know, the true test of a great dad is when you've replaced all the money in your wallet with photographs. Well, I think that's true, except who really carries photographs in a wallet anymore, right? They're on our phone. But I'd like to show you something that my dad gave me, because he still carries like the real wallet, like the really? George Costanza wallet in his back pocket. And so I'd like to just do this for my dad and your audience, if you don't mind. Let's take it down here. This is the wallet he gave me. And, you know, being a magician, I had to get something printed, because I don't keep pictures in my wallet anymore.
Right.
So I printed them on playing cards. And for our purposes today, I just wanted to show you a little bit of the story of my dad, who with my mom created real magic for me and my sisters. You see, these memories together, they kind of create a picture, a life when you look back, filled with sacrifice, love. This is my dad building our house when we, you know, were getting started as a family. This was me with my dad actually in Disney World. He always gave everything he could to give us experiences that we would remember, you know, for a lifetime. And those experiences stayed with me my entire life, right to my wedding, where he was my best man. He was there for the birth of my children. That's my middle daughter, Eleanor.
That's awesome.
And, you know, my dad also, he gave me one other thing. He gave me this watch, which I'm usually looking at my phone for the time as well. So it doesn't work anymore, but I keep it with me just for the memory, because he said that the most precious gift you have is always our time. So spend it wisely. Well, I'm going to put this here for just a second and ask if you wouldn't help me. You see, I printed a second copy, Brian, of all of these pictures here on playing cards. And I'm wondering if you would just, you know, help me put them anywhere you want. If this was one of the memories, which picture would you want me to put this photograph in front of?
You and your dad.
Right here?
Yeah.
You sure? Great. I've got another one. This could be any of them. Which photograph would you like this to go in front of?
The wedding.
Oh, my dad's wedding or my wedding?
Your dad's wedding.
Right here. It's my mom and my dad. Perfect. We've got another one, and it can go anywhere. Where would you like this? Don't let me influence you, Brian.
No, on the end with your daughter being born.
Sure. We've got two more to go. Where should this one go?
Right there is fine.
Seriously? Okay.
Yeah.
Last one, Brian, before I put it anywhere, there is a spot open, but this might seem forced. Do you want to switch any of these? Do you want to change them, or do you want this one, in fact, to go right there?
No, that's fine right there.
All right, cool. I'll put it right here. All right. Here's kind of the weird thing. You know, for me, a lot of these memories, you know, are almost a blur when I look back, but I am who I am because of my dad. And those moments tick by so fast. Brian, can you think of a moment in your life, like the exact time of one moment in your life as a father that meant the world to you, a moment that you never forgot? What was the time that maybe that happened?
The date?
The time.
It was in the evening, and it was, It was a scary time, but it was rewarding at the end. So it was in the evening, later in the evening.
If you had to assign a time to it, what would it be?
About 9 p.m.
9 p.m. Like exactly, or were there any minutes involved, or was it just 9 p.m.?
I think it was about 9, yeah.
Yeah, okay, wow, that's interesting because, you know, you had to make a choice here today. And one last time, do you want to switch any of these or you're good?
I'm good.
Okay, that's interesting because, you know, every moment kind of lines up in a certain way. And there's probably no way that you would have known that you've actually chosen every single moment in exactly the correct order.
That's awesome.
Oh, but Brian, you know, I told you this watch didn't work anymore, and it doesn't. I had left it set at a time. But what was that scary time in your life again?
9 p.m.
Oh, that's so crazy because that's exactly the time that I set it at.
That's awesome, man. That's wow. Incredible.
Wow, Brian.
That's
great. Thank you so much.
See what I tell you, folks. I mean, he's just, it's mind blowing, the stuff that he does. And listen, I've been a huge fan of magic since I was a kid. I mean, I used to try to learn magic and stuff with cards and things like that. I've been to magic shops and just kind of nosed around and picked out stuff that would make me look like I was a magician. But there's a lot of skill involved. There's a lot of movement with the hands that, you know, happen right in front of you that you don't even realize. But I will say this, the stuff that I have seen Tom do today and even last month when he and I were hanging out, and then last year when he and I were hanging out, has just been incredible. It's just been mind blowing. So thank you for sharing, you know, your wisdom and your parenting style and how you've kind of raised your kids. And for the dad that you are, I'm proud of you. That's awesome. And
thank you
for you really developing your skill in magic and what you've been able to do with it is remarkable. And I commend you for the skill because it takes a lot of practice, a lot of practice, and you have to be dedicated to it. And he clearly is. So thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing those tricks in the episode. I really appreciate it, Tom.
Absolutely, Brian. Thank you.
I do have one question for you, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Is there a simple, I don't have a deck of cards with me. I wish I did. But is there a simple trick you could teach my audience just for fun that would be easy to do? If there's not, that's okay. Just throwing it out there to see what you think.
You know, it's funny, Brian. They say you should never reveal a secret, but I have to tell you that one of the reasons I started doing magic for companies was with our company, Magic Core. We actually started teaching executives how to do a trick with a message that they can infuse into their meetings virtually or live, so they could actually do the magic for their employees, for their teams. So can I teach maybe something that anybody could use?
Yeah.
Let's do it. You could do this online. You could do this live. Let me grab one thing for it. And you probably have it right around your own home. I'm sure you do. I want to make sure we're prepared here. You just need a dollar. That's really all you need. So, you know, they're getting smaller and smaller these days. But let's grab a dollar if you have it. And I'm going to give you an up close view of exactly what's happening in just a second. So.
Okay. So let me do this. I got to go grab my wallet.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Hold on.
All right, you get that.
I'll be right back. Hold on, audience. Don't go anywhere.
And we're going to give our audience an up close view of this. So this is going to be, nice and close here, so that everybody can see. Perfect. All right.
Okay. I did not.
All right, Brian, I'm glad you're ready. You have the dollar. Here we go. Anybody at home, go grab the dollar. This is going to be something everybody can follow along with me right here. Are we good to go?
Yeah, I didn't have any cash for whatever reason in my wallet, but I snuck one from my wife's wallet. So
perfect. All right. You know where to get it from. Okay, here we go. So all you need, the dollar. Okay, and here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask everybody and you at home to just fold one side of the dollar up just a little bit, just like this. Just a crease is fine. That's all you need to do. And then the back of the dollar goes up. So you've just created kind of this little skinny section here, this dollar, just like that. And then the only other steps you need to remember are you fold one end of the dollar up like a little burrito. You're just tucking it in there, just kind of crease it, fold it up. And the other end you're going to fold up.
One corner? Like
that. Yeah, both corners. Just fold them up. And then you hold it between like your fingers. That. Brian, hold yours up. Yeah, like between your hands like me.
Okay, let me get the other side folded up. Okay.
Yeah, good. Just like this. Hold up for everybody can see a little higher. Excellent. And then what you're going to do is if you can just put one hand near the screen, sometimes some of the, if you have any heat from your monitor or your screen, I have an Apple computer, it gets a little bit warm, but there's some static electricity. And with the fibers of the bill, you're just going to go like this on the bottom of your bill. Just go like this on the bottom of your bill. And then you're going to leave one hand on the edge. And what's going to happen is, yeah, perfect. Your right hand, okay, just like this, but one finger on each side, one finger on each side.
Oh. Dropping
it. Yeah, that's okay. Lift it up a little higher so we can see it in the camera, Brian. Good. And then you're just going to slowly, slowly, slowly remove. I'm going to remove my right hand. I'm going to just lower my right hand a little bit, and the static should hold it. Oh, is that not working? You just go a little bit lower. Look at that. Look at that bill. It's floating in the air, Brian. This will happen. You can. It's not working?
No. I'm trying. My hands are shaking for whatever reason.
That's okay. I know it's nerve wracking the first time, but I'll tell you what, if you can get about 30 seconds out of this and about 6 inches to a foot away with practice, but then that static, you start to lose the charge and that change does not last permanently. Okay. Just like the people we support, we have to come up and help them. We have to support that bill and then unfold it. And the next time you do it, that change will be a little bit more lasting and eventually you can hold it indefinitely. I don't know why it didn't work for you, but
I probably don't have the right static. I don't know.
it might. But, so would you like to reveal the real secret though? Do you want to know the real secret?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you want to tell it.
I'm going to reveal it. Okay. And everybody can use this. So I'm going to give you the close-up view. Here we go. Here's the bill. The secret lies behind the bill, Brian.
It's
a quarter. Okay.
I knew it. I knew you were playing with me somehow.
This is all counterbalance. Okay. This is counterbalance. So basically you're going to have the weight of the quarter on one side. Now the beauty is you can just fetch this dollar with the quarter out of your pocket. Okay. And you are ready to go. As long as that's behind the bill, nobody is going to be the wiser. So you can do this as a bar bet. You could do this, where everybody else takes out their dollar, right? And they all fall and yours floats. You can have any premise you want. You could say that the static from your phone or the Bluetooth from your phone actually sends a message or interacts, you know, through Wi-Fi, whatever you want to do. And what's going to happen now is that quarter, let's get me back in focus here. Come on. The quarter is going to just be kind of almost stuck to your fingers there. It's weighted down. And then when you let go of this hand, the rest is just acting. You want to just go nice and slow, remove it. And it's going to look like it's floating. No magnets, no strings. And the best part is once you unfold that bill, all you need to do is dump that quarter into your hand and you are scot-free. You can hand that bill out for inspection. And that is the amazing floating dollar. You saw it here live on Dad Up. Brian, thank you so much again for having me. I hope your audience loved it too.
Thank you very much, Tom. Thanks for, like I said, thanks for all the stuff that you shared and the magic tricks. Just awesome. Thanks for being on the show. It's been really good getting to know you more, and I'm looking forward to continuing this friendship. And like I've told you this, you know, over text that, you know, anytime you're out in California, please hit me up and we'll break some bread together, my treat, and chat a little bit more. So
likewise, we have to get you out to Connecticut.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you again, Tom. Listen, guys. Check out his website, go to his Instagram. He is very active on social media. Check out his website. I'm telling you, the guy is awesome. I mean, you saw it here. He's freaking amazing. And here's the thing. if you have a company, if you have an event coming up, maybe it's a corporate event, maybe it's a some sort of business event that you know, a company that you own, you're doing a special event or even an awards ceremony, you can call him up and set him up to come out and do a show for entertainment for you. We've done that at the company now for 2 years and it was awesome. Both times were just awesome. And so I encourage you, if you need somebody like this to entertain your crowd, it's perfect. And he doesn't take, he's not like he's taking a whole day to do it. It's, you know, it's an hour or two and then he's done and your audience will love it. So thanks again, Tom. Listen, guys, if you please, like I said, please make sure you check out his website. But if you are not yet subscribed to my show, please make sure you go and subscribe so you don't miss any of the awesome guests that I have on each and every week. And as always, I look forward to seeing you all on the next episode of Dad Up.
Wow, another amazing episode in the books. So much was shared, and I'm truly grateful my guest was able to pour into you to help you elevate your dad game and really dad up. Make sure you bang that subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode. And while you're here, please don't forget to leave me a rating and a review. I always appreciate the feedback. Also, did you know you can watch the video interview of this episode? You can by simply going to my YouTube channel at Dad Up Podcast. Please don't forget to subscribe to my channel. And one last thing, don't forget, your role as a dad is one of the most important roles you have. So if you need a little help or have questions, don't hesitate to reach out to me on my website at daduptribe.com or at my Instagram page at daduppodcast. Until next time, everyone, dad up.